So good to connect with one another, especially in the summer as you look around and think, I haven't seen this person for many weeks. It's my privilege to be here today and to see many familiar faces as well as many new ones. And I'm happy to be able to continue in the series that you've been working through this summer, Become, Be Blessed, as we work through the Beatitudes. And I hope that this summer you have just been enjoying summer, maybe vacation, maybe less schedule. But I wonder, what does the word peace mean to you? What comes to mind when you hear the word peace? Quiet? Calm? No stress? Tranquility? Maybe in summer you think of a picture like this. No children asking for help. No boss putting deadlines on your day. Restfulness. Or maybe when you think of peace, your thoughts go somewhere else completely different. Maybe you think of peacekeeping troops or a cessation of war. While my mind initially would go to a quiet setting or a state of mind, I also recognize that there is something much stronger and lasting, and that is an inner peace that we have with God. The dictionary defines the word peace like this. Peace is the concept of harmony and the absence of hostility. In a behavioral sense, peace is a lack of conflict and freedom from fear of violence between individuals or groups. Peace. No matter what your mind goes to or how you would define the word, we would probably agree that the definitions are positive ones. Peace is something that we enjoy. It's something that we long for. It's something that our world needs to experience more of. So this morning, as we continue in the Beatitudes, we're going to see how peace has a role in our lives. We're going to begin with looking at the entire passage, and then we will focus in on our verse for today. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. It's also up on the screen. So Matthew 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and we see this. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of God is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Our beatitude of focus for today is in verse 9. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. Or the New International Version says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We have one rather short verse, but it is packed full of truth and application for us today. So let's take a few minutes to discover what Jesus was speaking to the crowds in that day, as well as to us today. Obviously, peace is going to be our focus, but it has a very direct connection to who we are, children of God, or God's kids, God's peacemaking kids. So I'll be honest, at first glance, I'm left wondering, what does this verse really mean? What is it all about? If I work for peace, God calls me his child? As in, that's how I get to heaven? If I work for peace, God calls me a Christian? Well, that doesn't really seem to line up with the rest of Scripture. So it's important that we take a deeper look. You see, it's not a matter of working for peace to receive something from God and to be called his child, but instead, because of what we have received from God, when we work for peace, others will see that we are children of God. Peacemaking kids, that's us, live what we have already received from God. The message across the whole of Scripture is that humanity is separated from God by sin, and that Christ is the only true peacemaker. He's the peacemaker between humanity and God. Pastor Jeremy touched on this when he began the series and spoke on the first beatitude, that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who realize their need for God, for Jesus. In fact, the very same word, peacemakers, that is used in this beatitude is a word used by the Apostle Paul when he talks about what God did through Christ so that we could be at peace. Colossians 1:20 says that through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross. It's through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins, and then rising in victory over death, that we can have true peace with God. All we have to do then is to receive that gift and ask for forgiveness. And so it's with that foundation that what we have received should then shine through us and be seen by others. Sometimes it could shine through in joy or in love. But today in this passage, our focus is on peace. Because of what we have received in a vertical relationship with God, we need to live it out in our horizontal relationships. Peacemaking kids live what they've already received, not to gain something from God, but because of what we have already received. At the beginning of this passage, we're given a glimpse into the original setting of these words, that Jesus is out talking to the crowd, and this is just the beginning of the message, and there's many, many verses that follow of Jesus talking and outlining how to live in relationship with others, how to do it God's way. When we apply it to our own lives, we look at the relationships around us, friend to friend, family member to family member, coworker to coworker. Where am I to be a peacemaker in the real relationships that are around me? Why? Because of what I've already received from Christ. Have you ever been somewhere and met someone for the first time? And they start to make connections and they say, are you related to this person? You really look a lot like them. Or sometimes it's someone that you haven't seen in a long time, but they know your extended family and they make a comment of, wow, you sure look like your mom or your dad or your grandparent. People notice family resemblances. It can happen in immediate generations, or it can skip a generation. It can be a physical trait, it can be a gifting, or it can be personality traits. I often hear about how my mom and I look very similar, and they would be right, and that's a good thing. I have the hunking family resemblance. But when I was a child, and someone told me that I looked like my grandfather, I really wasn't sure what to make of that. But when someone tells me that they see a resemblance in family giftings, now that I don't mind. Families have resemblances, and that should be true in the family of God as well. Peacemaking kids have a family resemblance. We've already said that our motive for being a peacemaker flows from what we have already received. But it's also true that peacemaking kids reveal their family resemblance to the Heavenly Father. God the Father decided that we were worth the sacrifice of His Son. That's a peacemaker. Over and over in Scripture, God is called the God of peace because of who He is, as well as because of what He has done. Jesus went to the cross to pay our sin debt. That's a peacemaker. Jesus is the supreme peacemaker. He came to establish peace. His message explained peace. His death purchased peace. And His resurrected presence enables peace. On earth, He spent much time speaking to the crowds about loving and praying for our enemies, for treating others the way that we want to be treated. That's a peacemaker. Peace is also one of the fruit of the Spirit. Of the Spirit means that it originates with the Spirit. And the Spirit can grow and develop those in our own lives as well. The more closely that we are related to God, the more our spiritual family resemblance of peace will show to others. That can include being a person who is in peace or at peace. Philippians 4:7 says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The more closely aligned we are to Christ, the more that we will experience His peace, even in the tough times, even when it doesn't really make sense to be at peace. But there's also the family resemblance of being a peacemaker. Remember that we give from what we've received. And so Galatians 5:23 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As we stay in close connection with the Spirit, allowing Him to work in us and refine us, our family resemblance as the children of God will be seen by others as we work for peace. If this is a concept of working for peace that sounds very daunting to you, or contrary to how you would normally interact with others, then talk to God about it. Invite Him to shine through you and to give you His mindset. Peacemaking kids live what they have already received. Peacemaking kids have a family resemblance. But peacemaking kids are active. Peacemaking is an action. It's a verb. It's not passive. It's not docile or unassuming. Peace does not mean that you need to be walked on, that you need to brush all of the issues under the carpet without addressing them. It doesn't mean that the other person is always right. While those things on the surface might look like peace, in fact, they're just a superficial imposter of peace. Notice that Jesus didn't say, Blessed are the peace wishers, or the peace hopers, or the peace dreamers, or the peace lovers, or the peace talkers. Peace must be made. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who work for peace. Peace never happens by chance. A peacemaker is never passive. They take the initiative. They are up and doing. Those of you who have more than one child, whether they are young or whether they are grown, is one of those children a peacemaker? Often it's the middle child who gets that stereotypic title, peacemaking child, keeping the peace perhaps between the oldest and the youngest. Or maybe you look at your work and you say, that person is a peacemaker, flexible. But don't be fooled by a calm exterior that necessarily equals peace. Some people that we label peacemakers really aren't that at all. Check out this shirt that I came across. Now, while I share that in jest, it is a good reminder that some things look different than what they really are. Picture the person who always seems calm, quiet, doesn't stir up trouble, lets others make all the choices, and is ready to go along with whatever's been decided. While this might seem like a peacemaker, there could be something very different going on under the surface. Sometimes this is the person that's feeling walked on, that just wishes someone would listen to their opinion, that they wish that they had the strength to speak up in the moment. They replay the conversation in their head, going, "If only I had said this." Being quiet because you don't like confrontation is not a peacemaker. And when this continues long enough, it can often result in depression or explosive anger. But then there's the true peacemaker. And it might be a quiet person, but it might be a very outgoing person. It doesn't matter. But these people seem to have the ability to see the heart of others. Do you know someone like that? They just see the whole situation past the issue to understanding what's truly going on with people. They can make a comment that just quiets the whole thing. When someone makes a comment that upsets, they say, "You know what, Sarah? Bobby was just poking fun and he didn't mean to upset you. We know you're very generous. Like last week, you bought us ice cream. I'm so glad that I have awesome friends like you." And suddenly, something that could have blown up is quieted, and everyone's happy, and it didn't escalate. That's a peacemaker. In other settings, we might call the person a mediator. They help bring resolution. They don't ignore the issues, but they deal with them objectively. God is calling us to be active peacemakers, not the fake type that just look good on the outside, but true peace. Why? Because of what we've received? So others can see that he makes a difference in our lives? Because we're his witnesses in this world. But this is one of these rubber meets the road areas of life. It sounds like a great concept. It sounds like, yes, I should work for peace. The problem is we have to work for peace in real life with the people who are around us when we're not feeling like working for peace. We work for peace in the midst of discord, in selfishness, in times of trouble. How do we do that day to day? Let's look at a couple practical steps for peacemaking. First and foremost, it's to talk to God, to ask him for his perspective. Because when we're upset and feeling wronged, usually we have our own perspective, and it does not always line up with God's. So seek him for his perspective on the situation. And sometimes that also includes seeking him for his perspective on who you are. If you have been attacked personally, if your integrity has been attacked, let God remind you of who you truly are in him. And as you do this, you will become more objective. Pray for the people involved. Pray for yourself. Seek God for the next steps. And then leave it with him. And I have to admit, that's the hardest part for me. I think that I have left it with him. And then I'll be doing something mundane like folding laundry and realize I'm having a conversation in my head with the other person. And if I had said this, I bet they would have said that. But then I would say this, and it swirls. And I realize the other person in my head, their answers are always negative. It's never that I'm picturing a situation and how wonderfully it will work out as I take that next step towards making peace. So we need to talk to God, and we need to leave it with God, and sometimes we need to leave it over and over and over. But seek God's direction. And sometimes that's just to wait, and sometimes that's to take one step. But as you talk to God, stop talking to others. Yes, it may be appropriate to confide in another person to gain wisdom. But venting to each person that we come across very quickly becomes gossip. In fact, it usually stirs up the situation more than where it started. And it affects your witness. People see something very different about who a child of God is and what they should look like. So talk to God, but stop talking to others. And then be honest. Tell the person, whoever the situation is with, a bit about how you feel. And in fact, this might not actually be addressing the issue between you at all. This is the interpersonal part of the relationship, something separate or maybe even bigger than the conflict. But express your heart and be ready to hear them instead of just being ready to form your own responses to what you think they're saying. And then take the first step. Don't sit and wait for the other person, perhaps as a way to gain an upper hand or just to be stubborn. Peacemaking is an action, so be active. Maybe it's as simple as saying hello to the other person when you see them, but start somewhere. Peacemaking tries to build bridges to other people. It doesn't want the animosity to remain. It wants reconciliation. It wants harmony. And so sometimes, if the only courtesy you can show is to say, good morning, say it with the desire for peacemaking. Look them in the eye, and not with that phony politeness covering your anger type of greeting, but the true, this is my first step. And then find a way to work on the issue. Maybe in steps, maybe bringing in an impartial party. These aren't really five steps that happen in order, though, are they? The first two, three steps kind of happen all the time. And we jump back up and we jump back down. And it's messy. But we're to work for peace, true peace. General MacArthur, an American general who commanded the Southwest Pacific in World War II, said this: "A truce just says you don't shoot for a while. Peace comes when truth is known, the issue is settled, and the parties embrace each other." We're not looking for just a truce. We're praying and seeking God for true peace. As God's peacemaking kids, we don't just try to stop a conflict. We're doing something far more meaningful, something healing and restoring. We're trying to bring about reconciliation in relationship. But it also means examining our hearts to say, do I really want peace and reconciliation? Or am I just trying to prove that I'm right? As you sit here today, God might be highlighting a relationship with a specific person where you know this applies, where you need to put one or more steps of peacemaking into action. Looking at the whole picture, sometimes it feels too big. Sometimes all we can see is all the spots where we think it will go wrong. So take one step. God's peacemaking kids are active. Now let's look at one final aspect this morning, and it's this. Peacemaking kids don't always achieve peace. What? We would talk about this for the last 20 to 30 minutes just for me to say, and yep, peacemaking kids don't always achieve peace. But it's true. And we all know that. But stay with me for a moment. Achieving peace isn't always possible. Is that discouraging? Perhaps, but actually, I think, if we're honest, it's freeing. Friends, working for peace doesn't always mean peace achieving, but God doesn't say that we're responsible for the end results. We are to be makers of peace. We are to work for peace because of all we've received from Christ, so that others will see that we are children of God and we resemble the Father. A peacemaker longs for peace and sacrifices for peace, but the attainment of peace doesn't always come. And that's when Romans 12:18 is very important. There Paul says, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Or the New Living Translation says, do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. That's the goal of a peacemaker, to do everything you can. Don't let the rupture in the relationship be your fault. But if the other person isn't willing to come to a resolution, while that might be out of your control, your attitude is not out of your control. We should still long for peace, not just write the other person off. It's not our license to gossip because we did everything we could. It should grieve us. It should draw us to prayer. And we can continue to make quiet steps, waiting for the day that we can fully have peace in that relationship. But that being said, you are not a failure when you have done everything God has led you to do, but peace has not been achieved. Peacemaking is not always peace achieving. But again, it's not your license then to not even try because you don't think it will make a difference. Peacemaking is an action, but we're not responsible for the results. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. There's an interesting dynamic that takes place when a pastor is preparing a sermon. More often than not, God has a way of highlighting the application in our own lives. And over the past few weeks, as I have prayed and prepared, I have had two situations come into my life where I have had to make very specific choices. Will I choose to be a peacemaker in this situation? Will I choose to continue step after step? And some of those situations aren't complete yet. But don't ever get the idea that the person here has it all put together. They would never experience something like this. They can say those things because it's easy. It's not. It goes against the way that we want to respond. Being a peacemaker, it's maybe not always our natural response. It means trusting God to lead and knowing that I am responsible for myself and not for the other person's responses. I want to pray for you this morning. We each come from very different situations. You might find that right now you're in a peaceful time in your life, which is wonderful. Or you might be saying, yep, I'm in the exact opposite. I could apply this everywhere I look. Either way, God wants to walk with us, and he wants us to be able to respond with him, step by step, actively making peace. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come together this morning to thank you that you are the true peacemaker, that we have the ability to even know you because you chose to send your son, that you chose to deal with our sin problem, that we could be truly at peace with you. And God, let us not take that for granted. And so today, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that wonderful gift. But then, Lord, as we turn our eyes to the relationships around us, we ask today, Lord, that you would just flow through us by your Spirit. That you would turn our perspectives to equal yours. That you would lead us for the steps to take where we are in relationships that are in need of peace. God, thank you that you walk with us one step at a time. And Lord, we don't know what this week looks like. It could be that we are walking into situations that are new to us and will test us in this very area. But God, I pray that in those very moments that you would remind us before we speak, before we do something, that you are the peacemaker working through us. And so, Lord, we just give you praise that we don't walk this alone. We walk with you, the ultimate peacemaker. God, we trust you for victory this week in our relationships. And we ask all of this in your son's name. Amen.